Good morning. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks to all the folks who were sort of hanging in with us last week during our very successful winter pledge drive. We certainly do appreciate everything that you do to keep this station on the air. And so we're back now with another Perspectives program, 414-1234, the local number in Tallahassee to call. It's 800-926-8809 if it's long distance from you to the capital city. And we also have an email for you. That's perspectives@wfsu.org. We got a new organization to talk about this morning, one that I wasn't aware of. Probably you have not been either. It's called 50 Large, and it's working to break the cycle of gang-related crime in Leon County. Now, this morning on Perspectives, we'll explore the factors that can drive young folks into the arms of criminal gangs, but we'll also find out exactly how 50 Large does what it does when it comes to turning those young people away from gangs. So let's go around the table here and welcome the guests we have this morning. First, Larry Thompson coordinated the 50 Large program since 2008, and he calls these young people who are in the program his grandchildren. How many grandchildren do you have now, Larry?
Good morning, Tom. First, I want to thank you for this opportunity to spread the word about 50 Large. I have more than 50 grandchildren running around this community at this point. And so we have just gotten a really good start. And these team members I have here with me today will help lay out how we have put together a very highly successful intervention, not program, put together a family. We're a family, Tom.
Well, we want to meet some other members of the family here, so let's say hi to Lieutenant Steve Outlaw with the Tallahassee Police Department, also a member of the 50 Large family on the steering committee. Lieutenant, good to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. Great to be here.
And we also say hi to Kelly C., Florida Department of Education is where she kind of hangs her hat. She's teacher liaison and also in the 50 Large reading component department or coordinator therein. Good to have you, Kelly.
Yes, thank you, Tom.
All right. And also William B.J. Fletcher, 50 Large Operations Manager. So you are like the Lord High Head Honcho with a whole shtick, huh?
If you want like to view me like that, that'd be nice. But I do what I can.
No, we want to find out some more about this program because, as I said at the outset, I was really not even aware that it was ongoing. I've been to all these community meetings, or many of them. I don't want to say all. But like County Commissioner Maddox has had meetings. Commissioner on the city side, Andrew Gillum, correct, has had meetings. There have been all of these task forces and white papers and all this other stuff going on. And behind the scenes now, since 2008, Larry, this 50 Large group, how did this come to be?
Well, first of all, I want you to know that we're in the business, 50 Large is in the business of inspiring hope, molding character, teaching responsibility, and providing real opportunity for young men who have gotten off track, but they're trying to turn their lives around. And in essence, we take them to raise, Tom. We're not a program. We're a family. And so we take these young men under our wings and do just about anything and everything for them and with them to get their lives redirected.
Does this include taking them out of that actual geographic location where maybe they got into problems and relocating them physically, or what do you do?
Well, sometimes it's a good idea to relocate them. And we are developing resources like that as we speak. But to date, we have just taken them under our wing and put them into a variety of components that we've developed, starting with deportment. Young men have to learn how to present themselves and how to have some good character. And so we start with making sure that, they pull their pants up, Tom, that they make eye contact, and they're very respectful, say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and please and thank you. And then from there we go to academics, reading. We're so fortunate to have Kelly C., a real reading guru, to work that program for us in conjunction with Florida State. And so we, you know, we bring their reading skills up, give them some technology training, and get jobs for guys whenever we can. And so those are just a few of the basics right off the bat on how we try to interject and redirect.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts to find out just how – this sounds like you're working miracles. And I want to find out how the miracles happen. If we could ask you, Lieutenant Outlaw, we hear – we have a gang problem here in Tallahassee, Leon County. How bad is it on the street?
Well, that's hard to quantify, Tom. It depends on your perspective, as usual. And then if I was to talk to somebody from Thomasville, they're down here visiting, and they're looking at our situation, they may say we have a gang problem. You talk to somebody from Miami, Jacksonville, and they're going to say you don't have a gang problem, but we have gang issues. And so we certainly have enough gang issues that need to be addressed and for both preventive and intervention actions, and that's where 50 Large comes in. And so, you know, the sky's not falling. We're not going to sit here and be Chicken Little and say the sky's falling, but we certainly have enough that gang issues that influence other violent crimes that it's certainly worthy of the community to step up, and that's where TPD and law enforcement in general comes in, is to be that catalyst as a community partner to help say, look, guys, you know, we have some issues and we can help provide some influence and some guidance and advisement to the community. And 50 Large is that right now, is that component. Not to say there's not others in the community, in the faith-based community and other secular community, but 50 Large is probably the most organized at this point, and that's why we're a partner. You know, we do have gangs. We do have gang members, and they have influenced some violent crimes in the recent past, and that's why we're certainly plugged in to help the community fix it.
But a gang does not necessarily have to be something that we would see. I remember when the History Channel started the Gangland series, and
correct.
So you have the Bloods and the Crips and all these other,
sure.
which now have tentacles nationwide. But this can be something like, say, the Basin Street Boys or the more localized, where it's sort of loose affiliations of folks who still have get into trouble and have sometimes even serious criminal problems. But it's not that type of thing that we normally think of when we say gang.
That is very much correct. Most people, when you ask them, what's the first thought on your mind if I mention the word gang? Normally, they'll just recite Bloods, Crips, Latin Kings, something they've heard on TV because that is where most of our education comes from on these issues. And so they don't think in terms of that very localized, neighborhood-based, and that is exactly more so what we have. Now, you know, we see some transitioning, and we do to the more of the national affiliation. But the more that we can stay on the front side of it, as the old adage goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. In our case, you know, we can't afford a whole pound of response. And so the fewer ounces that the community can contribute to programs like 50 Large, you know, on the intervention and prevention side, that's where we're like to put our money.
Talking to folks in the family called 50 Large, working to turn young lives around to divert young people from gang-related activities such as criminal enterprise. And we're inviting your comment and questions here on Perspectives this morning, 414-1234, 800-926-8809. Kelly C. is reading coordinator for this. You're taking, which are in many cases, young people who have not much in the way of academic background, perhaps almost
correct.
None at all. How do you get them reading and enjoying learning?
Well, what's amazing is that they have a lot more than they think they do. And what we try to do is make sure that they understand 50 Large is a safe environment. And just like Larry has his grandkids, if they don't slip up and call me mama or auntie or grandmama, at some point I feel like I haven't really done my job. I want them to feel safe and comfortable with me. Secondly, I want to build their confidence. Every child can learn to read. It's not something they're born with. It's something they develop with practice. Just like they want to go out and shoot hoops every afternoon, we're going to go out and read books every afternoon. We're going to build the – they know more than they think they know. They know more than they want to put out there. And then we get rid of the excuses. You know, kids that come in and say, well, I can't read. I live in the ghetto. well, honey, I've looked through all the ADA and I can't find any disability that's classified ghetto. So, yes, you can read. And we, you know, we start with things on their level, things that they're interested in. And with our program working with the FSU students, it's kind of a twofold system because we're also teaching those pre-service teachers as well as tutoring these students in how to learn to read because teachers do matter. And we give examples of how teachers, you know, I taught some very, very low achievers that nobody said could learn to read and always had real success with them. And so we share that with them. And these pre-service teachers that come in, the main, you know, they come in this course that they're taking is usually a course where they're graduating in another subject. Maybe they're going to be a math teacher or a science teacher. And they think, I'm not really sure how this applies to me. And the most important thing that they get from that I want them to get, the FSU pre-service teachers, is that we teach kids, not subjects. So we need to meet those kids where they are and start learning how they learn and build up their confidence and not just focus on spouting out our subject.
Well, that is certainly a turnaround from the traditional kind of student teaching that many folks, myself included, went through back in the days of teaching. This is real down and dirty nuts and bolts.
It is. We're very real with the kids. We don't take excuses. We don't take flack. We are going to read it. And we're not just going to call words. We're going to teach you comprehension strategies. We're going to stop after three sentences, and I'm going to ask you what it is you're thinking about right now. Where are you right now? Do you have more questions? What are you thinking about? And I'm going to ask you to write it down so you can't get away with just the old head nod, yes, I'm good. You know, we're going to write it down, and we're going to discuss it. And then when you go to do this in your classroom, this is the exact same thing I want you to portray in your classroom.
We have ways of making you comprehend.
We do. We do. And we'll make sure you do it.
Mr. Fletcher, we'll get to you right on the other side of the break here to find out what the operations manager for the 50 large family does in his regular day-to-day activities. That's what we're talking about. 50 Large, an anti-gang initiative here in Tallahassee, Leon County. 414-1234, 800-926-8809. Welcome back to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan, joined by the family of 50 Large. If you have never heard of this organization, don't feel bad. I hadn't either. It is a family, as it's typified by the folks who have put this thing together, and it's working in the community to try to divert young people away from a life of gang-related activities, including criminal kind of stuff. And we have 50 Large Operations Manager William B.J. Fletcher up next. B.J., how'd you get involved in this?
How did I get involved in it? Let me tell you. Well, it's a long story, but it comes down to passion and a bunch of opportunities that were given to me. And I basically, what I was doing already, I had a chance to do it organized. Mr. Thompson here met me a while back. I was speaking to his wife about my passion and what I was trying to do. And I was, you know, how I beat the streets. And I was working on beating the streets. And she gave me the opportunity to work with Mr. Thompson. Introduced us. I told him what I did, and it just fit perfect for what this was. So that's how I got involved, and I've been involved very heavily, you know, in the neighborhoods with the kids all the time, with the families, traveling around. Just being involved, I think that's the big thing, just being involved, having someone know that you care about them, assuring that you care about whoever you're with. That's really what it's all about, being able to tell somebody that, hey, man, you can make it. You can do better. Like Kelly said, building confidence. And I think that's the big problem that we're having with gangs and in the criminal life is that people don't have the confidence to think that they can be the ones succeeding. You know, they want to live like the rich folks, do this or do that, but they don't have the confidence to think that that could be them or that can be them. So they get involved in criminal activities because the truth is a lot of it is fun, you know, not going to jail and getting locked up, which we some of us have been caught up in or get caught up in. But having that person to come and grab you around the shoulders, hey, man, this is what you need to do, or constantly hearing this, that you can make, and giving you a little boost or motivation to be a better person in life for yourself. And then after a while, you know, after hearing that enough, you'll start believing in yourself and you'll want to do better. For me, I was young. When I was a youngster, I got into a little trouble, had some things going on. But I had coaches and uncles and great fathers and family around me to give me the confidence that I needed to tell me, hey, you can do this. And I was an aggressive guy. I like to fight and, you know, do those type of things. So when I found the sport of wrestling, one of my coaches came up to me and said, hey, guy, come on here. You can be a wrestler. And he took time to, you know, explain to me what was going on and how people were viewing, you know, a lot of my friends and the things that they were getting into that I was starting to get into. You know, he kind of deterred me from that, distracted me, kept me distracted, kept me wrestling, which was a good sport for me because I was rough in it. You know, it gave me the confidence to know I can overcome pretty much any obstacle if I put my mind to it. And, you know, that's just what I'm trying to give these guys out here as much as possible and to help other people give that.
You have terms like keeping it real and street cred, which what I'm hearing is you bring to the organization. So, you know, other young people come up and say, well, man, look, BJ did it. It's possible. I can do it too. Is that kind of where you're coming from?
Pretty much. You know, street cred, I don't know how far that goes because I've been in the streets and, you know, it's not that big of a deal to me. I don't see that. I don't ask around asking for credentials, getting letters and stuff from people in the neighborhoods, in the hoods about how bad I am or what I do or what I've done. But, yes, you can make it. I have a lot of friends have gone down the other road or did things, you know, prison life or jail or drugs or, you know, anything that's negative that, you know, with, if you were watching the movie, you were like, oh, yeah, he's the bad guy. I don't want to be like him. I want to be the hero. So, yeah, I would love to be Tallahassee hero.
Larry.
I just want to interject. BJ, he has those boots on the ground, Tom. He knows what's going on out there. The guys cannot put anything over on BJ. And so when he puts his arms around him and has ride-alongs, just almost like Lieutenant Outlaw take these guys on ride-alongs, he'll just pick them up off the streets and they hang with him for 2 or 3 hours. It's nothing formal, but he just develops that kind of rapport with them and it's been tremendously effective in really turning guys' lives around. We're really fortunate to have a guy like BJ. He's a college graduate. You know, he's a former state champion wrestler. He's, you know, he's a real bad man, you know. And so so they respect him, and he's just real effective. Yeah, we're pleased to have a guy like BJ on staff.
Let's go to the phones. The lines are now filling up. We'll go first to line one and Bill. Hi, Bill. Welcome to Perspectives.
All right. How are you?
Hey, we're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Yes, I'm calling just to really thank your guests there for their involvement and also for the language that they're using in saying that these young men are family. A few years ago, the city started to use some unfortunate language like they were going to start a war on gangs. And it's like starting a war on your children or on your citizens. Because these children are our children, our family, and our citizens. And we need to begin to use the language like we recognize that we have an obligation to them. And I thank the police officer that's there who recognizes that that's his role to help protect these young people as citizens of the city of Tallahassee.
Good input, Bill. And Lieutenant Outlaw, also a good point here, that there seems to be a change in mindset, even on the part of some folks in the legislature, which originally back in the 90s, I remember we had the war against the super predators and really cracking down on particularly young people who got into trouble. A lot of prosecution of juveniles as adults, et cetera, beefing up sentences and all that sort of thing. And now you have like the one – this was what? In the Joe Lewis neighborhood, it was like we got a lot of folks involved in criminal activity, but the first-timers were given an option.
Sure.
And that's – so there seems to be a lot more flexibility and understanding of really what's going on out there.
Well, there's all kinds of different approaches to this. And obviously – and thank you for your call, Bill. But we – you know, we like to look for long-term resolutions, but we also have to maintain those short-term solutions, not just the long-term solutions. Long-term solutions are to look at the intervention, the prevention, especially the prevention. There's a program that came out of the Attorney General's office, State Attorney General – on the anti-gang campaign. And one of the main pillars of that program was the prevention intervention piece. But it dealt with all the coming back out of the prison system and dealing with them in between also. But, yes, law enforcement recognizes that, you know, if we can work for a long-term solution through the community, that's the best way to go. And we do have the enforcement action for the short-term solution. Sometimes it's a stopgap. Sometimes an arrest is what gets them plugged into a system also. But whenever we can have our either officers or working through our partners like BJ and Larry and Kelly and all their wonderful programs to get their attention and start to build those relationships that they don't experience outside of a family type of an organization like we have here. And so sometimes this is the first real relationship they've ever had.
Well, let's say you have a nonviolent offense here. I mean, if someone pops someone else, obviously they're going sure. to have to be some kind of heavier consequence here. But are they like given a choice? Look, you know, we're either going to send you down the regular criminal justice trail or we're going to divert you into 50 large.
Now, that's a call that only the state's attorney's office can make at that point. We cannot make that. We can certainly make recommendations based on our interaction with them. Or based on our knowledge that they're already plugged into a system, so they already have some advocacy going for them, such as 50 large. And that could make a in fact, Larry can probably attest to some conversations he's probably had in the past going to bat, so to say, for certain individuals where they are plugged into the system. Let us have them, let the family have them, and let us work with them, and then maybe we can – divert them from having to go into the system quite so fast.
Absolutely, Lieutenant. And our partner list is large, diversified, growing, and the state attorney is among our partners. We have judges downtown who are on the steering committee. And so we're plugged in all the right places, and we go to bat. When a young man really deserves another chance, we're right down there in the courtroom with them and going to bat, and we have been able to have them diverted to us rather than to one of these secure detentions. And some of those success stories are really, really wonderful, heart-rending. Guys that would be incarcerated right now, but they're graduated from high school early and on their way to college, Tom. So we're working this thing.
We got some numbers here. 100% of young men who go through the 50 large family situation demonstrated increased reading levels. Thank you, Kelly.
Yes.
80% of young men actually giving up gang participation. 68% meeting all program requirements, 65% improving school attendance, and 63% reducing substance abuse. Those are scarily good numbers, Larry. What other program are you aware of that can rack up
well,
that kind of success?
Tom, again, we're not a program. We're a family. And we mean it when we say we are taking them to raise. Those guys, they have our cell phone numbers, and they use them. And we spend as much time as we can with them, with all our basic components, reading, computer training, the deportment, and giving back, Tom. We give back to this community. You go out to Tom Brown Park this weekend for a Stomp Out Type 2 Diabetes, and you'll see our guys out there helping the organizers stage that event. And so with that kind of approach, you know, when they know that the opportunity is real, that the love is real, they respond.
Well, we got a response here from Nathaniel up in Bainbridge, how we might be able to do the same thing in that community. Hi, Nathaniel. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Real good. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, my question was, I was trying to find out, I'm interested in starting some program like that, similar to that. Right now, I'm currently, I use football as a method of trying to work with between ages of 6 to 12-year-old boys right now. And, you know, we do cheerleading, but we're trying to branch out where we can use older kids and stopping the Kings, you know, work with that area as far as up here in Bainbridge. And I'm trying to find out, like, how would I go about trying to do something like that?
Boy, that is a great question, Nathaniel. Larry, any advice there? And also what we could do, Nathaniel, is maybe take your contact information off the air, and we can hook you up with Larry then after the program. But what advice do you have?
We'd love to get in touch with you, Nathaniel. We're anxious to start moving around in this capital region to work with people who are looking to do something similar to what we're doing over here in Tallahassee. We've got the model pretty well developed and I think almost perfected. And so, you know, I'm just glad that there are guys like you out there who are wanting to step up and do all they can do to help these young guys who most of them never really had a chance in life and they're ready for some help. So thank you, sir.
And Nathaniel, if you'll hang on the line, we'll get your contact information there. Michael's picking up on that, and we'll get you and Larry interfaced here in just a little bit. Kelly Z, from the educational viewpoint, obviously you're not teaching all of these kids how to read or how better to read yourself.
Right.
You mentioned the Florida State University folks. Are you looking for additional tutors or help in this regard or what?
Well, we are always looking for more tutors. But we want tutors with a passion for what they're doing. And we have reached out. There are some other of my fellow employees at the Florida Department of Education that have come and have – I mean, once you come and you view the program, you are sold. I mean, you can't come one night and not want to come back. So they get sold on that. And the tutoring aspect is imperative. And part of what I do is instruct the tutors on how to work with this particular student, with this particular type of student, where this particular student is coming from. How do you look at their background? How do you interface with them? How do you take the child who has his arms crossed and his head down and get him engaged in a book? And part of that comes from, you know, what we teach them and our strategies and that type of thing. And part of it comes from just being able to engage with the student. And so we start each of our sessions with kind of a mood review. And they have a whole list of moods, positive and negative. And, you know, we just look them over and they choose the moods that they're feeling and the tutor will choose the mood they're feeling, write a couple sentences why they're feeling that way, and then they have a discussion. So, you know, what's been going on with you today? Why do you feel that way? Why are you having these feelings? You know, this might be something we should change or we should turn around. So we take that off the table. Any baggage that you brought into this group, that's off the table. So you're now in the safe environment. We've talked about it. We've given you some encouragement. We've discussed any issues that you might have that would be that, you know, we don't want your mind on something else while we're trying to read. We just want your mind on learning how to improve your academics. So we take all the rest of that off the table so we can only focus on their academics.
But I can almost hear someone, BJ, I'll throw this to you, saying all this touchy-feely stuff. Come on, these are some hard-bitten guys in many cases, and they're not going to put up with this kind of stuff. They're going to smell that a mile away.
Well, not really, because they're children. And most children want to be loved and want some attention and people to care about their feelings. So it's real. You know, they have had some issues as far as lashing out. But like she says, if you come in there and you care and they can tell that you care because of the actions, it's going to go. They'll latch on to you when you see them. Like everywhere I go now. Hey, what's up, Coach? What's up, BJ? It's just love because they can feel how genuine you are. And, yeah, no matter how hard they are, because people aren't hard. Skin's pretty soft.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard, that this whole idea of a gang, it's really as a substitute for something that wasn't there before.
Yes, it is.
And it's not the best solution in the world. So you get the 50 large family as a substitute, which is a much better way to go.
That's right, Tom. Our communities, many of them have just been decimated. Too many people are in jail, young men and middle-aged men. Jails are too full. We need to stop building jails and start sending our guys to college. I mean, it makes really common sense. It's costing $34,000 to send one of these young guys to jail. We can send them to college for $14,000. Do the math. It's a win-win situation. Communities are revitalized. Families are rebuilt. Taxpayers get a break on the tax roll. So, I mean, it's just a total win-win situation. And I want to come back, though, to an earlier point. Lieutenant Mayday, you know, it's not Miami or Jacksonville, but Rashad Morrell, 15-year-old sophomore at Rickards High School, murdered senselessly. He wasn't a member of a gang, Tom. This kid was a member of the football team. He was a diligent student. He was a member of the Tallahassee Boys Choir and the apple of his mother's eye. Murdered senselessly, a member of the Hit Squad, one of these rogue gangs. And this, you know, just in the wrong place at the wrong. How are you going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time going to a party sponsored by a local fraternity with plenty of police there to, you know, to monitor and protect? And O'Brien LaShawn Brandy, 29-year-old former FAMU football star, murdered senselessly. Here's a married man raising his children, driving late at night, trying to make money to support the family. And he's dead and gone. And these lost souls, can we just
do something else? The 50 Large Family with us here on Perspectives, 414-1234. Give us a call. Perspectives on WFSU-FM this week, talking to members of the 50 Large Family, an organization that breaks the cycle of gang-related crime. Target population, young men between 11 and 18 years of age who are involved with gangs, drugs, the court system, have major discipline problems, and this is essentially a surrogate family that takes them in and makes every attempt to repair those lives. Let's go back to the phones. George is on the line. Hi, George.
Talk to you again.
Hey, good to hear from you again, George.
I just wanted to ask Kelly if she's ever had occasion, myself as a visually impaired person who's just learning the JAWS computer screen reader, if she's had occasion to teach visually impaired or other disabilities in her travels in this program and elsewhere.
Yes, and thank you for that question. I have taught some visually impaired students. And again, they can learn to read. It's just how do you go about – they might not learn traditionally, but how do you go about it? And let me say that my passion for reading comes from this. When I went to college, I was in the same town that I had a 40-year-old cousin who had been born with spina bifida. Lived in, and he was living in a group home. And my mother said, you really should go over and visit your cousin Tim. I said, all right, I'll go. So one Sunday afternoon, I went over. He's a huge Wildcats Kentucky fan. So I took him one of those yearbook type books, you know, that's got all of the pictures and photos and talks about all the players and things. And I took it to him. We had a nice visit, and I left. And I went back a few weeks later. And it was still sitting in the wrapping. He'd never opened it. And I said, well, Tim, why didn't you open the book? It's great. I said, it's got everything you want to know about this season. And his response was, and he eventually broke down to cry. He said, Kelly, I can't read. And I was so livid. And I ran home and I called my mother and I said, how on earth could he be 40 years old and not know how to read? And I was so upset with my aunt, and she said, no, it's not their fault. You know, this was in the late 50s, early 60s, and they said, we took him you know, in the late 50s and early 60s when he was a child, they took him to school, every school they could think of, anybody that might be willing. And every time he came in, they looked at his wheelchair and said, "I'm sorry, he can't learn. We're not going to take him." And I just, I mean, that was a life-changing moment for me. And I spent the next 2 years working with him, learning, teaching him how to read. And he was up to about a fourth grade level. He passed away just two summers later. And I just vowed right then that there would never, ever be a child, a baby that I came across that was not given the opportunity and the encouragement to learn how to read.
Larry Thompson.
I just want to tell you now, we are blessed to have Kelly C. on our team, in our family. I've worked with her for years. We started working out at Swift Creek together 6-7 years ago. And she can take anybody, you know, and have them reading in a pretty short amount of time. Just, you know, some people have those gifts. Kelly is one of them. And so I was just really, really pleased to be able to bring her back into the fold when we got 50 Large going. But now, before we go any further, I need to give credit to two individuals in this community who deserve super kudos. Superintendent Jackie Pons is a visionary leader. He is the one that really does, he puts kids first, and kids in our demographic, the most at-risk demographic. He has given us this opportunity. We couldn't do this without Superintendent Pons making it possible. And the other guy is a guy by the name of John Hunkiar. He's the director of safety and security for Leon County Schools. And John came here from Miami, and his footprint is huge. He's was involved in a similar program or initiative down in Miami, Impact Success. And so he was responsible for us getting the initial grant money so that we could put this family in place. So super kudos to those two great men in this community.
Well, the Leon County School District being the lead agency for the support of the 50 Large family, Florida Department of Juvenile Justice, Children and Families, you got Workforce Plus, Florida State University, as you mentioned, Kelly, the State Attorney's Office, TCC, Goodwill, Ounce of Prevention. I mean, you've got just about everyone plugged into this organization, but could you use some more help, maybe?
Well, as the old saying goes, it takes a village. And so we have been really blessed. This community is a caring community, and partners just continue to step up. And so, yes, the door is open, and we're always looking for new partners and new resources, and especially minimum wage jobs, Tom. We, you know, these guys want to make some money. And, you know, we incentivize our guys. One thing that, you know, some people have a problem with, we don't. Our guys earn $5 every time they attend one of our sessions if they are in compliance with our deportment standards, the 50 Large Bible, that pull up your pants and make eye contact and be respectful. And we don't pay them $5 on the spot, but we keep attendance and cut them a stipend check every month or 6 weeks. But those minimum wage jobs, when a guy has proven to us that he's ready, we want to be able to give him an opportunity to make some money. They want to support themselves and their family. These guys want to help mama, Tom. And so, yeah, those partners are critical, and we're always looking for additional partners. And so if anybody's out there want to join the 50 Large family and help us really revitalize communities, give me a call.
Okay. BJ.
Yes, you speak about other involvement, not only on the corporate company and business levels, but we need people, you know, who are in the communities on the ground. You know, involvement is very important, and because of economic times, a lot of parents are busy and don't have the time to spend with their children. And I think that's a big part of the problem, because there's a deficiency of adult males who give the positive influences around because they're out, you know, working, you know, which is a good thing. But you have these rogue criminals who are teaching our young kids to do otherwise because that's who they're spending their time with.
Yeah, and that's where the modeling comes from. If the only guy you see is the player at the end of the street, that's you're going to look up to him and kind of, gee, I want to be like him.
Yes. And they look up to these rappers. These guys are rich and famous, but they're former criminals and drug dealers, and they're promoting drugs and sex and violence. And so we really need to have so many positive possibilities to counteract that. We need – so we're looking to just put a army, boots on the ground, family large, men who are out there willing to take these guys under their wings and show them that there is another way.
Yeah, despite the popularity of his jams, Lil Wayne might not be the best role model for a lot of these young guys. You know, by the way, BJ, what does 50 Large stand for?
50 Large. All right. It stands for – lifelong achievement, responsibility, growth, and education. Lifelong achievement, responsibility, growth, and education. Lifelong achievement, that's lifelong. You want to be able to achieve constantly. Even me, myself, I'm trying to attain higher degrees and higher statuses. And I tell my guys, you always want to be better. Set some goals that you want to achieve and continue to go at them. Grow. And be responsible at the same time. Responsible to yourself, responsible to your community, responsible to your family, and whatever ways you can do that. And, of course, with that, we want to push education. You know, education is a must. I used to be a special ed teacher myself way back, and I taught moderate to severe behavior problems. So that my perspective of these guys may be a lot different from most people because I've dealt with some of the worst, and, you know, I'm not intimidated by it.
But it's also a different connotation for living large,
yeah,
which is a term that means, you know, usually, you know, the money, the nice house, the women, all that kind of stuff. Right?
That wasn't by accident, Tom, you know, because large in the hood connotes, you know, wealth and success. And so it was a nice fit, 50 Large.
I like that. Back to the phones we go. Aaron is on the line. Hi, Aaron.
Hi. I was calling because I've heard a lot about boys and men, your guest talking about, but I haven't heard anything about women. I actually have a young friend who could really benefit from this family, but it's a female, and I was wondering if there are any options available for her.
Wow, that's a good and Lieutenant Outlaw, I was reading something out of the Attorney General's office that female gang membership in Florida is growing faster than male gang membership.
Yes, I can't attest to that particular stat, but yes, we certainly have our female-based gangs and groups, and so that is very valid. Now, 50 Large, just by its core charter, was based on the male subject to focus on. But what Aaron is saying is very true, that there's other programs out there, or we need other programs out there to address and that can be tailored towards that female population. And that's where we always encourage 50 Large as much as we like it. I'm on the steering committee. It's where TPD is a partner. There's still other entities out there, you know, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Clubs, that we encourage everybody. If 50 Large, if you have something to offer, mentorship, time, maybe some resources, in-kind resources. If 50 Large is not the fit for you, you know, certainly find what fits for you. And there's other agencies out there that hopefully could address what Aaron's referring to.
Yeah, because I think what I was hearing from you, Larry Thompson, was that this is a very specifically targeted family situation, and you don't really want the family to grow too big, huh?
Well, we get the question all the time, when are we going to do something for the girls, for the young women? And I just have to tell them, someone else is going to have to do it. We're very focused, specifically focused and chartered to work with the young males in this community. And so I just can't be of much help there. But what the lieutenant is saying is what I would have to say. I'd have to refer them to Boys and Girls Club or other organizations out there, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, but we're going to stay focused on the males. We feel like we can rebuild communities by building men who can be fathers to their children and taxpaying citizens and contributing members of this community.
Kelly, see on the educational component again. talking with a lot of kids, again, as a former teacher, and knowing that there are many kids to whom education is almost a negative.
Yes.
That those who achieve are looked down upon. They are not part of the cool kid crowd. Mm-hmm. And it is a real matter of personal discipline and even bravery to pursue that. How do you get some of these kids who maybe have grown up in the other way to say, wow, this is really kind of neat?
Well, we rap. and it sounds funny, but to be honest with you, once we look at I print out a song lyric. We print out song lyrics, and we read through them. I'm like, this is just a poem, guys. I mean, it doesn't matter how you say it, quickly, slowly, sing it, not sing it. It's still reading. I mean, that's still essentially what you're doing. And in conjunction with that, last spring, we took a song, Independent, I believe it was, and we had the students rewrite the song, and now it's called I Am Reading. And they rewrote the song. We actually had four of the guys perform it. We taped that in our studios at the Department of Education. And that YouTube video, I think, has gotten about 4,000 views so far. So it was an opportunity for them to express their selves in a less threatening environment, but also give them the opportunity to grow confidence in reading. I mean, they had to read it. They had to write it. They had to come up with a rhyme, and it gave us the opportunity to talk about all of those things. So, you know, when you're in class and you're reading a poem, rap it. I mean, we're still talking about reading. It's just showing them different avenues.
I tell you, Tom, you need to listen to this. You need to go on to the 50 Large Facebook or the FDOE site. I don't know. Yes. Is it still there, mm-hmm. Kelly? Or on the 50 Large website, I Am Reading. It is the coolest thing. These guys did a heck of a job putting this thing together. They wrote the song themselves. They put it together in like 15 or 20 minutes when they really got focused. And Kelly brought them to the FDOE studio. And it's a quality production. I mean, it's cool enough. And so any way we can get to them, reach them where they are, this I Am Reading rap video PSA is cool. I want everybody to go and check that out.
I am definitely going to check that out. Also, full disclosure, as a musician and having to deal with different kinds of rhythms and rhyme schemes and all that, writing rap is hard. It really is. You know, for folks who hear it and think, oh, that just throwaway music. It is difficult. One more call I think we can get in from Jason here in Tallahassee. Hi, Jason. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hey, we're doing well. Thanks.
Tom, my name is Jason, and I work as a volunteer with the Taltech Alliance. And we're fortunate enough to be able to involve the 50 large clients annually in our Tech Expo conference. And Larry, I wanted to ask you if you wouldn't mind talking about how other professional organizations can offer your clients these kinds of experiences.
Well, Jason, thanks for calling. Jason is one of those long-time, very strong supporter. He and his dad at the Go Beyond Foundation, they've been involved with us from the beginning and helping us to provide that real solid technology, computer technology training. And that, you know, that's critical. And so, Jason, I want to thank you and your dad. And again, we just, you know, we welcome new partners. And our base components, the reading, the technology, the deportment, starting with deportment. You know, we're going to stay there, but we are going to expand now. You know, over the next couple of months, I'm real anxious to get a entrepreneurial business training model and component developed. Our guys are out there trying to go into business, you know, the wrong way, Tom. So we want to teach them, give them the skills to develop a for-profit business and learn some real vital skills that way. So we're engaging FSU again, the business school there. We want help putting together a business training model. But, Jason, thanks, man. I appreciate you.
And finally, in the moment we have left, Larry, anyone wants to find out more information about 50 Larger, contact you with help, a partnership offer, whatever, what should they do?
Well, the website is available. The 50 Large website is linked right off of Leon County Schools' main page. And or they can call me at 487-7173. And I'll be glad to speak with anybody that wants more information or wants to get involved with the family.
Larry Thompson of 50 Large with his 50 grandkids. Thanks for coming in. Lieutenant Steve Outlaw of TPD on the steering committee. Kelly C., Florida Department of Education reading coordinator. And B.J. Fletcher, 50 Large operations manager. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you. Good luck. Thank you for all you do. Thank you, Tom.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM and Tallahassee. Technical assistance from Taylor Cox, Michael Fleming on those phones and emails. Thanks so much, Michael. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Join us again next week. More expert opinion and your input right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.